This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner. Hey, thank you for letting me come into your space. I know you've got a lot of things you need to be doing, and the fact that you would spend this time with me really means a lot to me, and I pray it's going to be a benefit to you. But today we're going to continue our series, which is called How to Overcome the Fiery Trial of Faith. It is a five-part series. You know, in life, fires come. You need to know how to get through them, and that's what we're teaching this week in this five-part series, which comes with a study guide. And we're also offering you the RIV, the Renner Interpretive Version of 1 and 2 Peter. It is a parallel study Bible for people of faith. So if you consider yourself to be a person of faith, here's a parallel study Bible for you. And it is a conceptual interpretation of the Greek New Testament with footnotes and commentary. And as you saw yesterday, the footnotes and the commentary are just loaded with treasures. My friends, you will devour this, and it will cause the Scripture to come alive to you. But you can order all these things by calling the number on the screen or go online. And by the way, when you go online, our website store is loaded with so many various materials. You ought to go there and just browse around. It is amazing how many teaching materials are there. And we really believe that our call from God is to bring people teaching they can trust. So please look around and see what is there in our website store that would be a blessing to you, and let us know how to pray for you as well. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, I'll show you great and mighty things. We would love to pray with you and call out to God in faith. He will hear us, He will answer us, and He'll do great and mighty things for you. I believe that. But please call the number or go online, send us an email, and let us know how to pray for you. But reach for your Bible. And right now, we're going to return to 1 Peter chapter 1. Very quickly, we're going to review verse 1. Peter is writing to believers that have been disrupted. They have been scattered like seed all over the eastern lands of the Roman Empire, and they're enduring a great persecution for their faith, or they are really in a trial of fire. And he begins addressing them in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We're in the King James Version. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. But the RIV is a little expanded, and yesterday I explained why. But listen to the RIV. The RIV says, I'm Peter, an apostle and personal representative of Jesus Christ, and I'm writing to the personally chosen and prestigiously elected. That's you. And then he says, who are living like foreigners in a world where they have no natural connections. That's often the way that we feel because we're really foreigners in this world. But then it goes on to say in the RIV, and who've been scattered like seed throughout the Roman provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Then we come to verse 2. And in verse 2, the King James Version says, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Well, yesterday we covered the first part of this in the RIV. Today we're going to continue and we're going to finish verse 2. But the RIV of this verse says it like this. I'm talking about those who've been personally elected, handpicked, summoned, called out, and chosen. That's what the Greek really means, and it describes you. That's who you are. You're the personally elected, handpicked, summoned, and called out and chosen by the dominating prognosis of God the Father. That is by His long-term plan that's being carried out by means of the ongoing, never-ending sanctification work of the Spirit. And my friends, that means once God begins working in you, He's going to keep working in you. It is the ongoing, never-ending sanctifying work of the Spirit that leads to a life of obedience and living in submission to Him with the goal to carry out His commands. And then the RIV continues, "These are they who've been completely cleansed and purified from all guilt and shame by the sprinkling of the shed blood of Jesus Christ." Now, that's where we ended yesterday. But if you go back to the King James Version, it then says, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." It's very small, it's very simple, very succinct. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. But that word grace is a powerful word. The word peace is enormous in the Greek text, and the word multiplied is amazing. So the RIV interprets it like this: grace to you. That is supernatural favor that empowers you to be and do all that's needed. And peace that brings cessation to wars in your life, closure to conflicts, and the removal of distractions. This peace allows for a time of rebuilding and reconstruction. It ushers in prosperity. It fosters the rule of order in the place of chaos. It produces a calm inner stability that results in the ability to conduct yourself peacefully even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be traumatic or upsetting. Remember, these believers were in the fire. They were in very upsetting circumstances. But now Peter says, listen to the kind of peace that God has given to you. But the reason this word grace and peace is interpreted in this way is first of all described in footnote number 14, which says the word grace is translated from the Greek word charis, a word used in ancient times to depict a special touch that empowered a person to be or to do what he or she could never naturally be or do. And that's why it says grace to you. That is supernatural favor that empowers you to be and do all that is needed. But then we come to this word peace. And as we see in footnote number 15, the words peace that brings cessation to wars in your life, closure to conflicts, and the removal of distractions. This peace allows a time for rebuilding and reconstruction. It ushers in prosperity, fosters the rule of order in the place of chaos. It produces a calm inner stability that results in the ability to conduct yourself peacefully, even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be traumatic or upsetting. All of that is translated from the Greek word eirene, which depicts, here's what the word really means. It depicts the cessation of wars, the end of conflict, a time of rebuilding and reconstruction after a war has ceased. It depicts distractions removed, a time of prosperity, the rule of order in the place of chaos. It really describes a calm inner stability that results in the ability to conduct oneself peacefully, even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be traumatic or upsetting. All of that is in the word peace. That's what God has given you. He's given you grace that empowers you to be what you need to be, to do what you need to do. And He has given you peace that ends all wars in your life. It closes all conflicts. It removes distractions. It enables you to rebuild and to reconstruct. It brings in a time of prosperity. It fosters the rule of order in the place of chaos. Doesn't that sound good? It produces a calm inner stability that results in your ability to conduct yourself peacefully, even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be traumatic or upsetting. And this was good news for these believers because they were really in the middle of very difficult circumstances. Now, my friends, that is just amazing. But then in the King James Version, it says grace and peace be multiplied. The RIV says, may this grace and peace and all they entail multiply and proliferate until they abundantly overflow in your life. And the reason it is interpreted like that is explained in footnote number 16, which says the word multiply and proliferate are from a form of the Greek word plethuno, which means to amplify, make full, increase, maximize, or multiply. It pictures something that is rapidly escalating in terms of quality, quantity, and size. Thus, it pictures something becoming fuller and more bountiful. That's why the RIV says, may this grace and this peace and all they entail multiply and proliferate until they abundantly overflow in your life. That is the will of God for you. God wants His peace and His grace to abundantly multiply and proliferate in your life. That's the will of God. Even if you're going through a hard time, my friends, you can experience what I'm describing, and it will give you the ability to conduct yourself peacefully even when you're in the middle of a fire. But then we come to verse 3. And at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter continues, and the King James Version says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, when you really understand the Greek words used in this text, it gives you a brand new revelation about the word blessed. The RIV says it like this. I want to begin by verbally speaking a blessing to God. Notice that. Verbally speaking a blessing to God. But as I try to do it, I realize that anything I say is woefully inadequate because there simply aren't enough words to express all that I want to say about Him. But I want to verbally bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just stop right there and let's dive into the Greek text to see why it is translated in this way. And we see in footnote number 17 the words, I want to begin by verbally speaking a blessing to God. Verbally speaking a blessing to God. But as I try to do it, I realize that anything I say is woefully inadequate because there simply aren't enough words to express what I want to say about Him, but I want to verbally bless Him. This is a very broad interpretation of the Greek word eulogitas, which is a compound of the word you and the word logos. Now, I'm not trying to give you a Greek lesson, but I want you to understand what this word blessing means. It's a compound of the word you and the word logos. The word you means good, swell, well. It pictures something delightful, euphoric, pleasurable, rapturous. The word logos, which is the second part of the word, means words, and it refers to something that is verbally spoken. Please hear me because this is important. Something that is verbally spoken. And when compounded, the word means to say good or positive things. It's not to think about it, it's to say good or positive things. And in fact, this is where we derive the word eulogy, which is a message of good words verbally expressed in remembrance of the person who has died. But because the word eulogitas is used here, it depicts spoken words, and it means that all genuine blessings are conveyed by words. Did you hear that? Genuine blessings are conveyed by words. If words are not verbalized, even if a person intends to bless another, a blessing has not been conferred. For blessings are conferred with spoken words. And Peter uses this word eulogitas in this verse to acknowledge, celebrate, eulogize, praise, and verbally express his thanks to God in words. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, because when you want to bless somebody, it's not enough just to think about how good they are. To impart a blessing, you've got to speak it. The word eulogitas, it's words that are spoken. All blessings are verbal. Blessings are conveyed by words. That's what we find here. And so the RIV says, I want to begin by verbally speaking a blessing to God. But as I try to do it, I realize that anything I say is woefully inadequate because there simply aren't enough words to express all that I want to say about Him. But I want to bless, verbally bless, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, who? By His abundant and immeasurable mercy. When you read in the King James Version, it says, which according to His abundant mercy. But the RIV says, who by His abundant and immeasurable mercy. And this is explained in footnote number 19, which says, the words immeasurable mercy are an interpretation of polus eleus. The word polus means a great number, and portrays that which is abundant, numerous, plentiful, or profuse. It is used to dramatically picture anything of an almost unimaginable number. But the word mercy is from the Greek word eleos, a word that pictures pity, compassion, or the deep-seated and unsettling emotions a person feels in response to something he has seen or heard. But more than just pitying, this word mercy depicts a deep-seated emotion that compels one to action. And in this phrase, Peter was stating that God has abundant, manifold, plentiful, profuse mercy. And this divine mercy of God compels him to do more than simply pity our situation. The eleos mercy of God constrains him to take action on our behalf. My friends, that is the mercy of God. So God doesn't just sit by and wring his hands and say, oh, that's so pitiful, I'm so sorry they're going through that. But when God sees us in a difficult position, the word eleos means it compels him to take action. That's what mercy is. And if you feel like you're in the fire, God has mercy for you. And my friends, God is compelled to do something to help you. But the King James Version goes on to say, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But the RIV says it like this, who by his abundant and immeasurable mercy has given us a new birth and set us on a new upward trajectory that leads us to a buoyant, vibrant, confident, expectant hope by means of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. But notice the RIV says a new birth and has set us on a new upward trajectory. Now, why in the world is it interpreted like this in the RIV? Well, that's explained in footnote number 30, which says, the words new birth and has set us on a new upward trajectory are an interpretation of a form of the word anagenao, a compound of the preposition ano and the word genao. The preposition ana, now please hear this, this is so very powerful. This is why I want you to understand these words. The preposition ana means again, and it also denotes upward movement. Genao is the Greek word meaning to give birth to offspring. But when you compound these two words together, it means, number one, we are the offspring of God Himself. That's who we are. Number two, we have been born again, that is, twice born, once from a mother's womb, and a second time by the Spirit of God. And number three, every born-again child of God is now set on an upward trajectory in his or her life. That is such good news. When one genuinely repents, his status is instantly elevated to that of a son of God, and he receives authority, according to John 1:12, and regardless of how lurid one's past may have been, the second birth, the new birth, when that person is begotten of God, divinely places him or her on a new God-orchestrated path that gives that individual upward movement in life. Say amen. That describes you. And now you understand why the RIV says, has given us a new birth and set us on a new upward trajectory. My friends, God has put you on a new trajectory. It's leading you upward in life. But the RIV goes on to say that leads us to a buoyant, vibrant, confident, expectant hope. Do you hear those words, buoyant, vibrant? They are explained in footnote number 22, which says the words buoyant, vibrant are from a form of the Greek word zao, which gives the idea of that which is alive or lively as compared to lifeless and dead. It can depict that which is active, vibrant, and full of zest. It's used here to picture the Christian's hope as being lively or living and not just a lifeless, dead, empty hope. But on the contrary, the hope of a Christian is active, vibrant, and full of passionate zest. Do you have that? That's supposed to be active in you. And it goes on to say confident, expectant hope. This word hope in Greek is the word elpis. It doesn't just describe a hope-so kind of hope, but here it is a confident, expectant hope. And this is explained in footnote number 23, which says, the words confident, expect, and hope come from the root word elpis, which refers to a confidence, an expectation, hope, or trust of what is certain and sure. It is an eager anticipation of what is fully expected. Wow. And it says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, which means if God can raise Jesus from the dead, God can do anything at all. But the whole verse in the RIV says this. I want to begin by verbally speaking a blessing to God. But as I try to do it, I realize that anything I say is woefully inadequate because there simply aren't enough words to express all that I want to say about Him. But I want to verbally bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by His abundant and immeasurable mercy has given us a new birth and has set us on a new upward trajectory that leads us to a buoyant, vibrant, confident, expectant hope by means of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. And when we come back in the next program, we're going to begin in verse number 4. This is amazing. I'm out of time. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. This is Rick Renner, and somebody's asked a very personal question. They've asked, Brother Rick, how did your parents and your family respond when you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, my family was not very happy when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit because we were from a denomination that didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, our denomination at that time believed that all the gifts of the Spirit had passed away with the death of the apostles. So my parents and my family didn't believe in it, but yet now I had a new experience in my life. But over years, they watched me. They saw how consistent I was in my walk with God and how serious I was. And I proved to them this was a real experience in my life. And in the end, much of my family received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So if people are not thrilled with you because you've received a new experience, let them watch you and make sure they have something to see.
Are you in the middle of a fiery trial, wondering whether your faith will stand the test? This series will show you how to remain strong, stable, and spiritually refined through every hardship you face. In Rick Renner's new 5-part series, How to Overcome the Fiery Trial of Faith, discover how grace and peace empower you in tough times, what it means to be God's chosen in a foreign land, the power of your protected, eternal inheritance, how fire proves the genuineness of your faith. Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11, this teaching will remind you that you never have to face a trial on your own. In addition to this teaching series, you can order Rick's book, The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter, a parallel study Bible derived from the original Greek text. Order today. Don't miss this special offer. The bundle of the series, How to Overcome the Fiery Trial of Faith, starting at just $11, and the book, The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter, 25% off for a special introductory price of $28.50. Call the number on your screen now or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and I am in the production fulfillment part of the Tulsa Ministry headquarters, and I just love to come here and see all these teaching resources. My friends, we send them out by 10,000s every month and every year. It is just amazing, and it's a great honor that anyone would want our teaching. It's very humbling, and I'm very grateful that God is using our ministry and our teaching to strengthen lives around the world, and our partners are the ones helping us to do it. And right now, we're trying to pay off this facility so we can release more funds to taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. We've already paid off 78% of our ministry expansion project, but we'd like to finish it. And if you're not a part of the giving team yet, today I want to ask you to join our giving team so we can pay off this facility and release all those funds into taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth.
Today we have covered so much material in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, and verse 3. It is just amazing. But I want you to have the entire series, which is called How to Overcome the Fiery Trial of Faith. It is 5 parts, and it comes with a wonderful study guide. You will devour it. It would be great for a Bible study. And we're also offering you the RIV Volume 2, a 1 and 2 Peter, the Renner Interpretive Version. My friends, I am so excited for you to get your hands on this. And the treasure is really in the footnotes and the commentary. You will devour it. It will give you brand new insights to the scripture that you've never had before. But you can get all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And when you reach out to us, we want to pray for you. So please call that number or send us an email and say, this is what I'm facing. This is the fire that I'm in right now. I need the power of God. I need help to get through this. And when we hear what your need is, we're going to pray scripturally, and Jesus is going to do for you what needs to be done. And my friends, He's going to give you the power you need to make it through whatever you're dealing with. But please call the number on the screen or send us an email. But I want to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you didn't just save us, but you put us on a new upward trajectory in life. That is the truth. And Lord, we embrace that. And Lord, today we don't just think about how blessed we are. We want to tell you how blessed we are. We want to thank you for all you've done in our life. And I want to thank you for what you're doing in the life of my friend. I bless you for it, Father. And I bless my friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when we come back tomorrow, we're going to pick up right here. Please be sure to join me. But until then, remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity.